Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldreich, and today Mazakas Baba Basra, Daf Nun Ches, the third parak, Cheskas Abatim. Today's Daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eitan Feldman, Lizerchi Nishmas, his father, Noach ben Avram Abba, may his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, Rabbi Benah would mark the borders of burial caves so people could avoid becoming Tamei by walking over them. When he approached the cave where Avram was buried, he found Eliezer, Avram's servant, standing at the entrance. The Rashbam quotes a source that Eliezer never died. Eliezer told him that Avram was lying in Sarah's arms and she was looking at his head. Rabbi Benah asked Eliezer to announce his arrival and seek permission for him to enter. And Avram said, let him enter, made an idea, the Yetz Baya Maleka. Let him enter, it's known that there's no desire in this world and I have no need to conceal myself from him. He entered and measured its dimensions, but when he approached the cave where Avram was buried, a bas kol went forth. Nistakalta b'dmus t'yukni. You have gazed at the likeness of my image, meaning Yaakov. B'dyukni atzma al tistakal. Do not gaze at my image itself, referring to Adam. He was told how to determine its dimensions from the outside. Rabbi Benah said, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav. I gazed at Adam's two heels from outside, but dom b'shnei galgali chama, and they were like two globes of the sun. Point number two, a man once gave instructions for dividing his estate, leaving a barrel of earth to one son, a barrel of bones to another, and a barrel of soft material to a third. They didn't understand what he meant until Rabbi Benah explained the earth referred to land, bones referred to animals, and soft material referred to quilts. In another incident, a man overheard his wife berating his daughter, saying, why are you not discreet with transgressions of immorality? I have 10 sons, and only one is actually from your father. The father instructed his entire estate to be given to his one son. Rabbi Benah told the sons, Zil chabotu kibriya d'avuchon, go bang on your father's graves, ad dekai magalilhu l'haymanaychu shavka, until he rises and reveals to you which of you he left his estate. All the sons went to do so except the one, because mamzerim are brazen by nature, and the one legitimate son was not. Thus, Rabbi Benah awarded the estate to the true son. The sons informed Rabbi Benah to the authorities that he was judging cases without proof, and he was imprisoned. After demonstrating his wisdom to the authorities, he was appointed to judge their cases. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hamar zeh ve'en lo chazaka, a drain spout through which water flows off a gutter, has no chazak to remain where water is dripping onto his neighbor's property. Ve'esh kimkomo chazaka, but its place has a chazaka. These spouts were not permanently attached, but moved from one place to another, so the neighbor's silence is not proof of an acquired right. Three interpretations are given. Number one, Shmuel says a marzeb has no chazok meruach achas from one specific side of the gutter, meaning the owner is not entitled to keep the marzeb on the side of the gutter where it was until now and can be required to move it to the other side. But its place has a chazok m'shtei ruchos from one of the two sides, meaning he cannot be forced to entirely remove it. Number two, Rabbi Chanina explains, Shimeya oroch mekatsu, that if it was unnecessarily long, he must shorten it if the neighbor demands it, but cannot be forced to remove it. And number three, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba explains, Shimrotza libnos takta bona, that if the neighbor wishes to build under the marzev, he may build it, but he cannot force the owner to remove it. So once again, the 3 points are number one, Rabbi Benah would mark the borders of burial caves so people could avoid becoming tamei by walking over them. When he approached the cave where Avram was buried, he found Eliezer, Avram's servant, standing at the entrance. The Rashbam quotes a source that Eliezer never died. Eliezer told him that Avram was lying in Sarah's arms and she was looking at his head. Rabbi Benah asked Eliezer to announce his arrival and seek permission for him to enter. And Avram said, let him enter, made an idea, the Yetz Baya Maleka. Let him enter, it's known that there's no desire in this world, and I have no need to conceal myself from him. He entered and measured its dimensions, but when he approached the cave where Avram was buried, a bas kol went forth. Nistakalta b'dmus t'yukni. You have gazed at the likeness of my image, meaning Yaakov. B'dyukni atzma al tistakal. Do not gaze at my image itself, referring to Adam. He was told how to determine its dimensions from the outside. Rabbi Benah said, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav. I gazed at Adam's two heels from outside, but dom b'shnei galgali chama, and they were like two globes of the sun. Point number two, a man once gave instructions for dividing his estate, leaving a barrel of earth to one son, a barrel of bones to another, and a barrel of soft material to a third. They didn't understand what he meant until Rabbi Benah explained the earth referred to land, bones referred to animals, and soft material referred to quilts. In another incident, a man overheard his wife berating his daughter, saying, why are you not discreet with transgressions of immorality? I have 10 sons, and only one is actually from your father. The father instructed his entire estate to be given to his one son. Rabbi Benah told the sons, Zil chabotu kibriya d'avuchon, go bang on your father's graves, ad dekai magalilhu l'haymanaychu shavka, until he rises and reveals to you which of you he left his estate. All the sons went to do so except the one, because mamzerim are brazen by nature, and the one legitimate son was not. Thus, Rabbi Menahel awarded the estate to the true son. The sons informed on Rabbi Menahel to the authorities that he was judging cases without proof, and he was imprisoned. After demonstrating his wisdom to the authorities, he was appointed to judge their cases. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hamar zeh ve'ein lo chazaka, a drained spout through which water flows off a gutter, has no chazak to remain where water is dripping onto his neighbor's property. Ve'ish k'mkomo chazaka, but its place has a chazaka. These spouts were not permanently attached, but moved from one place to another, so the neighbor's silence is not proof of an acquired right. Three interpretations are given. Number one, Shmuel says a marzeb has no chazok meruach achas from one specific side of the gutter, meaning the owner is not entitled to keep the marzeb on the side of the gutter where it was until now and can be required to move it to the other side. But its place has a chazok m'shtei ruchos from one of the two sides, meaning he cannot be forced to entirely remove it. Number two, Rabbi Chanina explains, Shimeya oroch mekatsu, that if it was unnecessarily long, he must shorten it if the neighbor demands it, but cannot be forced to remove it. And number three, Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba explains, Shimrotzalivnos tachta bona, that if the neighbor wishes to build under the marzev, he may build it, but he cannot force the owner to remove it. All right, so now we go to our siman daf nun ches, and our standard siman is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, not to be confused with the biblical Noach. So here goes. Their servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, didn't let 9 brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave. While the 10th son helped Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, move a drain spout on top of the lion's cage that was dripping onto a neighbor's property. Once again, slow motion. The servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo. Zoo? That must mean we're on daf nun ches, Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. The serpent standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light next to a zoo, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the story of Rabbi Bonel entering Maris Machpelah and encountering Eliezer and then Avram. Rabbi Bonel said he gazed at Adam's two heels from outside and they were like two globes of the sun. So the serpent standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light next to a zoo didn't let 9 brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave, which reminds the Gemara relates Rabbi Menahel's wisdom. In one incident, a man overheard his wife berating his daughter, saying, "Why are you not discreet with transgressions of immorality? I have 10 sons, and only one is actually from your father." The father instructed his entire estate to be given to his one son. Rabbi Menahel told the sons, "Go bang on your father's grave until he rises and reveals to you which of you he left his estate." All the sons went to do so except one, because mamzerim are brazen by nature, and the one legitimate son was not. Thus, Rabbi Bonel awarded the estate to the true son. So the servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, didn't let 9 brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave, while the 10th son helped Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, move a drain spout on top of the lion's cage that was dripping onto a neighbor's property, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Hamar zeh ve'ein lo chazaka, a drain spout through which water flows off of a gutter, has no chazak to remain where water is dripping onto his neighbor's property. Ve'ish k'mkomo chazaka, but its place has a chazaka. These spouts were not permanently attached, but moved from one place to another. So the neighbor's silence is not proof of an acquired right. Three interpretations are given. So once again, the servant standing at the entrance of a very holy cave full of light, next to a zoo, didn't let 9 brazen sons enter who were searching for their father's grave, while the 10th son helped Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, move a drain spout on top of the lion's cage that was dripping onto a neighbor's property. All right, so now it's time for our 4 blah bach hazara. Daf nun dalad. So the simmer daf nun dalad is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches. Pasta chef, noodles? That must be on daf nun dalad. The pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree. And bikona it, which reminds us, Shmuel taught 4 cases of a chazak which depend on whether one's intent was for the property's benefit. The first case is regarding one who removed branches from a palm tree. Adaita dedikla kanei, if his intent was for the palm tree's benefit by pruning it, he acquires it. Adaita dechavasa lokane, if his intent was for animal food, he doesn't acquire it. His intent can be determined by seeing if he took branches from all sides of the tree, pruning it properly, or from one side and just for obtaining animal food. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses Sadeh HaMusiyemus B'Mitzareha. Regarding a hefker field marked by its boundaries, Rav said as soon as he digs once in the field, he acquires the entire field. Shmuel said he only acquires the place of his digging. So the pasta chef who cut off the lame noodle-shaped branches from an apple tree in order to improve the tree, and bikona it, and dug a little in the hefker field marked by a noodle boundary, acquiring the whole field, grabbed the land his Italian competitor was selling to a Yid because it's as ownerless as a desert, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Nechsei Ovi Kochavim Hari and Kamidbar, properties of an idolater, when being sold to a Jew, are like a desert. Anyone who makes a chazaka in them acquires him for himself. He explained that regarding the idolater, as soon as the purchase money reaches his hand, he's removed from his ownership since money affects transactions for idolaters. Still, the Jew who gave the money doesn't acquire the property until the shtar reaches his hand, as is the halakha in a city where shtar is usually written. Therefore, the land is left ownerless, like a desert, and available for anyone. Daf Nun Hey. So the Simran Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign. Speed limit sign? That must be on Daf Nun Hey, 55. The wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes, which reminds us, three laws are quoted in Shmuel's name, the third of which is, Hani Zaharui de Zabin Arulataska. These wealthy heirs who purchase land by paying its property tax, Zavinu Zavine, their purchase is a valid purchase. If the owner does not pay his property tax, the government allows anyone to pay it and thereby own the land. This acquisition is binding through Dina de Malchus Adina. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes, wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, which reminds us, Ravasi said in Rabbi Yochanan's name, Hametzer v'chatzav mafsik b'nichse ager, a boundary in the chatzav plant whose roots grow straight down, divide properties regarding acquiring the estate of a ger who died, as saw in Daf Nun Gimel, that a kinyan on one does not acquire the other, but not regarding pay and tumah. A division regarding tumah refers to a mishmah, one who entered an area of fields during the rainy season when it's Rishusa Yachi, because people avoid trampling the produce, but said, I don't know if I entered that place or not, meaning this specific field containing a grave. Rabbi Eliezer rules him tahor, but the Chamim rule him tameh, like the standard halacha of Safak tumah in Rishusa Yachi. So the wealthy heir who had a servant put up a speed limit sign in a field he acquired by paying the previous owner's taxes wasn't sure if he stepped over into the field with a grave, because he was distracted by the man with the number 55 on his hat, carrying out halves of a dried fig into Rishusa Rabim, one at a time, which reminds us, Ravin agrees that a boundary and chassid plant do not divide domains regarding Shabbos liability, but Rava says it does. The relevant case is explained with the Brisa. Hotzi chassi grogeres Rishusa Rabim hainicho. If one carried out something the size of a half a dried fig into a public domain and put it down there, and then carried another chatzi grogeres, behelam echod chayv, if this happened during one lapse of awareness, he's chayv to bring a chatzis, because the two acts combine to a significant amount of caring. B'shnei halamos pater, if this happened in two lapses, meaning he realized it was Shabbos, he is exempt. Rabbi Yossi says that even if both were done behelam echod, b'rishus achas chayv, if both halves were carried into one domain, he's chayv. B'shnei rishuyos pater, if they're brought into two different domains, the two acts cannot be combined, and he's pater. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simran Daf Nun Vav is a shusher and shul going, nu nu, nu nu. So here goes. The shusher and basin said, nu nu, shusher saying, nu nu? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Vav. The shusher and basin said, nu nu, to quiet two edim zomim, testifying to a chazak who had to pay the owner for a field, which reminds us, the next mission states that if two edim testified about 3 years of a chazak, benimsu zomim, and they were found to be zomim, mishalminu as a kol, they pay the original owner for the entire property, since their edis would have deprived him of the property. Shnai b'rishtona, shnai b'shniya, b'shnai b'shlishis. If two edim testify about the first year of use, two others testify about the second year, and two others about the third year, combining to a full testimony of a chazaka, and they were found to be zomim, mishalshing b'nehim. They divide the payment in three among them, since their testimony was combined to potentially take away his property. So the shusher and basin said, nu nu, to quiet two edim zomim, testifying to a chazaka, who had to pay the owner for a field, and to two other edim that were saying half an edis because of davar, v'chatzi davar, which reminds us, our Mishnah, which allows combining three testimonies about separate years into chazaka, disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. In a brisa, Rabbi Yossi relates that when his father Chalafta went to learn Torah under Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, some have it as a reverse, they both agreed such edis could be combined. But Rabbi Akiva argued and said that since the Torah writes that a davar, a matter is established through two witnesses, we darshan davar v'chatzi davar, a complete matter but not half a matter. Any edus must have a legal impact on its own to be valid. In our Mishnah, since each pair of witnesses only testifies to 1 year, which cannot establish a chazaka, none of the testimony is acceptable. So the Shusher and Basin said, Nunu to quiet two Edom Zomim, testifying to a Chazaka who had to pay the owner for a field, and to two other Edom that were saying half an Edus because of Davar, Vochazi Davar, to allow a set of Edom to testify on a Chazaka, even though one said the Machzik ate wheat, and the other said, he ate barley, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said, Echad Omra Achala Chitim. If one witness says the Machzik cultivated wheat as the field's produce, the Echad Omra Achala Soorim, and one witness says he cultivated barley, Harizo Chazaka, this is a valid Chazaka. Although they contradict each other about which produce was eaten, people do not notice the difference between wheat and barley, so the disagreement on this detail is disregarded. Daf Nun Zayin, so the Simmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, so here goes. The man with a long nose knows, that must be on Daf Nun Zayin, nose. The man with the long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists which activities in a property establish a chazaka that he acquired the right to continue doing that activity in that property. It first lists activities which cannot have a chazaka to continue. For example, if one plays an animal in another person's courtyard or movable utensils or chickens or manure, there's no chazaka, proving an acquired right to these activities because the owner doesn't protest such temporary activities. The Gemara asks that an owner would be expected to protest even temporary activities in his private domain, and Rabbi Bravu answered that the Mishnah's case is b'chatzio shutafin, a jointly owned courtyard, because partners do not object to these uses, although they impede its passage. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past a woman in the river doing laundry, which reminds us, the Pasuk says, V'otzim ein av me'eros b'ra'ah, and one who shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Rabbi Bar Abba explains, Zeh she'ein mistaka b'nash m'shal she'omdos al hakvisa. This refers to one who does not gaze at women when they're standing over their laundering when their feet are exposed. So the man with a long nose who had no need to protest when his partner stored a pile of dolls with long noses in their shared yard averted his eyes when walking past a woman in the river doing laundry and washing the cloak of a Talmud Chacham, which was long enough to cover all of his flesh, which reminds us, Yochan asked Rabbi Bana, Chalok shel Talmud Chacham Ketzad, how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? He answered, Kol she'im basar nira metachtav, so that his flesh should not be visible from underneath. He asked about a Talmud Chacham's outer cloak, and Rabbi Bana answered, Kol she'im chalukon nira metachtav tefach, so that a tefach of his tunic should not be visible from below the cloak. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one. Which stuff is the case where a brother managing the inherited estate presents shtaros bearing his name? That's on Duff. Nun Beis. Good number two. Which of the one that the pasuk of Va'otzim Einav Meros Barav refers to one who does not gaze at women when they are doing laundry and their feet are exposed? That's on Duff. Nun Zayin. Good number three. Which stuff do we discuss building a mansion versus installing doors on a Nechse Ger that died regarding who makes the kinyan? That's on Duff. Nun Gimel. Good number four. Which stuff do we learn about Rabbi Bana's wisdom and how he advised 10 sons regarding claiming their father's inheritance? That's on Duff. Nun Ches. Good number five. Which stuff do we learn? Rabbi Kiva holds that Edim cannot combine to testify to different years of a Chazaka since he holds Davar. Velo Chatzi Davar. That's on Duff. Nun Vav. Good number six. Which stuff do we learn about properties of an idolater when being sold to a Jew are like a midbar? That's on Duff. Nundal. Good number seven. Which stuff do you discuss what happened when Rabbi Bana entered Mars Machpelah and encountered Avram Avinu? That's on Duff. Nunches. Good number eight. Which stuff do you discuss how long should the tunic of a Talmud Chacham be? That's on Duff. Nun Zayin. Good number nine. Which stuff do you discuss the chazak of a Marzev, a drain spout? That's on Duff. Nunches. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you discuss carrying out a Chesi Grogeris into Rishus Rabim and then another on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Nun Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldner from Zichur wishing you a great day and great learning.